So yeah, I'm Sierra and I'm an addict.
Sierra.
It's kind of weird being here because this this picnic specifically was the first NA event I had ever been to. I had had a little bit of time underneath my belt, not like a lot, but this was the first thing I had ever experienced. We were down at that pavilion and it was freaking beautiful. I pay so much homage to it because it's just beautiful. I was like sitting here earlier, even during the rain, like looking out that way and seeing like the mountain and the clouds, and just it's just beautifully breathtaking. And I can't look what God did. And even if I turn around and I see everybody sitting here, look what God did. Like, I never would have met any of you. Wouldn't have gotten a chance to know you. Like, if it weren't for NA. If it weren't for my life, like, falling to shit. I've heard lately, like, the past, like, 3 meetings I've gone to about the gift of desperation. You know, I realized that I had become ungrateful. I was starting to feel that way. I was becoming, like, bitter. And then I kept hearing about the gift of desperation, and I was like, maybe there's something to that. And I got this rush of gratitude coming here today. And I realized, like, if it weren't for my life going to shit, if it weren't for my whole entire life falling apart, I wouldn't be here right now. And that means an awful lot to me. So I started using when I was like 9 years old. I always tell this story because I think it's funny. for those of you who are old enough, that show Seventh Heaven, that wholesome family show, Simon was like huffing paint. And I was like, that looks like a great idea. And didn't watch the rest of the episode. So that was what I started with. I was molested by my next door neighbor growing up. A lot happened to me in a very short period of time. So that started happening. My parents were fighting every night, eventually to lead to a divorce. My grandfather died, and then my great-grandfather died, all within like a very like 2 to 3 year span. And my parents didn't know about it. I didn't tell anybody about the molestation until I was like 18. My dad didn't even believe me. That was hard. But a lot happened, and I had no idea how to cope with it. And for me, I think one of the reasons I love this program is it uses the word like my addiction. So my addiction is about drugs, but it's not all about drugs. I abuse food, I cut, I binge and purge, I use sex. Those are all of my addiction. All of it is my addiction. The drugs are just, you know, the one that caused the most problems. So I moved school districts a lot growing up, and I kind of like always felt like I just couldn't find my place, you know? Couldn't find a place where I was, and I went from being in these very, very large school districts to a very small school district of like 105 kids in my graduating class, and it was hard to, even harder to find a place then. I just didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, not even in my own home. My mom was an addict. I don't know why. I've been thinking about her a lot, so it's kind of like really hard for me to talk about it right now. She was using before I was born. She stopped. Her addiction also played out in other ways with like severe OCD and things like that. But when my parents divorced, she was off. She drank. She abused prescription pills. I became the parent. She became the child. I grew up very fast. You know, I took care of our house. We had 6 animals. Fuck that. I'll never do that again. I was the parent, she was the child. My story involves more psych hospitals than it does rehabs. But I remember very clearly I learned how to manipulate from those facilities because I didn't want to be in there. I learned how to put on a brave face to make you believe that I was okay. To change everything about my aura, my personality, to be okay. To dress up the outside to make you think that I'm okay. That's still almost my go-to answer now. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm okay. And I'm not okay. I'm not fine. I'm not good. I'm fucked up. But that's where I learned that. I so didn't want to be trapped. My using progressed, obviously, especially when I got a little bit older. So did my promiscuity. That's the word I'll use. That's a nice way to put it. Anyway. I got myself into a lot of sticky situations that way. And for a long time, I blamed my actions on that, those things happening. And yes, they 100% played a part in it. But by no means did I deserve that. That's good. Yeah. I was raped after my ninth grade formal, and I ended up dating one of those guys for about 6 months. And that's how low I thought of myself. That is how much I hated myself. And how like sick and codependent I was to think that that was love. Like, sex is love. No matter if I wanted it or not, well, you know, he wanted to have sex with me, so that means he must love me, right? I look back on that now, I shake my head, man. High school is when things started to pick up a bit. My mom started to pick up on, like, the fact of more than her normal amount of pills were missing, like the ones that she was abusing. I was also abusing them. So she shipped me off with my grandmother, and that was super cool because I was no longer this mini adult. I no longer had these responsibilities, and I went in. I went in. Anything and everything, everyone. No man or woman left behind in Sierra's world. I loved everybody. And I'm all bark and no bite. I talk a big game a lot, especially like when I'm like angry, I'm like, meh. But then I'm like, okay, we'll just do this. So a situation happened. I fell out in school and the superintendent was like, you have a problem? I'm like, no, I'm good. Went home, my family counted my pills and they were like, you have a problem? I'm like, no, I'm good. They were like, you're going to rehab or you're getting out. And I was like, I'm going to leave. Packing my shit up. I'm like, it's October. You're not going anywhere. You're going to rehab. I was not fit for the streets at that point yet, mentally. Yet, being the operative word in that one. So I went out to rehab. I didn't learn very much. I did have a good time. It was a co-ed rehab. I don't really recommend that. It was smaller, so you were very easily capable of getting to a male's room, which I did. I remember I got out of that rehab in October. I would visit my mom on the weekends once I got out, and she was still getting high. She was still getting it in, which is cool. And I went to visit her one weekend. We got into a fight because I was jealous that she was high. And I woke up the next morning, she had OD'd. That was freaking terrifying. I can never forget that memory. Once, even to this day, when I try to think of my mom, that is what I see. I can't see the good things. I can't see her smiling. I can't hear her voice. I see that. That kept me clean and miserable for, like, give or take 2 years. Which, you know, I say that because I wasn't working a program. I did attend NA meetings in my hometown, but it was for my family. And that was it. I didn't come early. I sat in the back, and I definitely didn't stay late. I was out. I was like, yeah, that meeting ends at 7, be here at 6:55. I'll be out. So then I met a boy, which is a lot of my story too. You know, there are definitely relationships involved. This guy, he was really cool. I stayed with him for about 3 years, and my disease hit slowly. Started off with those little things, like just a little drink. And then I was an alcoholic. and just weed, and then I was spending money on weed before I, you know, paid my bills. Or my grandma. And finally, like, that mask finally came off completely, that I was an okay human being, and he saw it. He saw that. And I didn't understand it then, but I completely understand it now, and one day I will say thank you to that man. And he said, "You'll never learn if I don't leave." He was wise beyond his years. And he left. That sucked. I ran off of spite. I was like, "Well, I'll show you. I'll get my own apartment. I'll do things." Yeah, I did things. That's for sure. Moved in with some friends. They were married. Don't do that. It's a terrible decision. And they became my dealers. Of both, like, they were like the main reason for my stress, but they were also my main supplier. Opiates started to become a huge thing in my life. That was fun. And then I met a man, as I do. He was significantly younger than me. I like to share this one because, like, it's kind of fucked up, but it makes me laugh. I'll get there. But he was like a baby. He was a baby. Didn't know how to cut his own beard. I'm surprised he could wipe his own ass without his mother. He was a baby, and he needed me. He needed me. I had a job. I had a car. You know? And that stems back from my mother. My mom needed me. She didn't, you know, I needed to take care of her. I always need to take care of somebody. So that's what I did. I took care of him. And so I moved into his mother's basement. Yeah, that's bad. So bad. And we started using together. I'd had the same job for 6 years. Keep that in mind. We got a brand new car, and it was just whatever for a while, and then, you know, I said this before, like, one day we were too broke and too sick, so I crossed one of those lines that I said I would never cross, and I touched heroin, and then one day we were too broke and we were too sick, and I crossed another line, and I used a needle. And then one day, I just didn't fucking care. And I quit my job and said, "Stripping is the way to go." And then I was like, "Well, that's not enough money, so I'll trick, too." So then I crossed that final line. Like, those three things, those were my outliers of why I wasn't good at, like, I didn't need to be in NA. I had never done heroin, I had never touched a needle, and I had never sold my body. Those were my three disqualifiers from NA. I am not a junkie. I don't do those things. Watch me. And I did it. Those were some low moments. My lowest moment, I got raped again. Out of all the things I had promised myself, no matter if I was using or not using, you know, abstinent, whatever, I said that wouldn't happen again, and that happened again. And I almost didn't care. It meant everything in the world, but it meant nothing at the same time. Because I had that mentality that I deserved it. You know? And, so my family, like, kind of made this decision, and they were like, "We're cutting you off if you don't get clean or do something." And it took me a long time to make that decision because I was sick, and I was, like, trying really hard to not be sick before I went off to rehab. That's not the way my story went. I was sick as shit going to rehab. I was, fuck the world. I went to rehab, you know, I don't want to say that I had a spiritual awakening. Yeah, it was cool. I was up early. I was listening to birds chirp. But I freaking was not spiritual at all. I was like, fuck this place. But my family didn't want me back, so I decided to go to a partial program where I made out with some guys and promptly got kicked out of that partial program. They gave me a decision. They were like, you can go home and or you can go to Johnstown. And I was like, Johnstown it is. My family wants nothing to do with me right now. So that's where I went. And I went to this halfway house, which was cool. And by cool, I mean psychotic. I had never lived with 24 women before. Don't recommend that either. No, I'm just kidding. I can look back on it now. Like, I'm super grateful for that place. Like, my family doesn't have much money, so those women, like, they gave me, like, shampoo and conditioner when I needed it. Tampons. Those bitches are expensive. Like, I need those things. Actually, I just shared this the last time I just gave my lead. I realized I just recently got bras that weren't given, that hadn't been given to me. Because I came in at, like, 100 pounds soaking wet. Not what I weigh now. And, like, I didn't have anything. And those women gave me that. And it wasn't until, like, just now, like, 18 months clean that I, like, had just bought a bra that was, like, mine. That was a big thing. I was like, oh, crap. I didn't even realize, like, that's how much other people had given to me. I had gotten a sponsor. I didn't call her. I was one of those girls who definitely, in the halfway house, got dressed up for meetings. I wore the makeup, the heels, the short skirts. I was like, how are you? You know, to every guy. Because that's what I do. I didn't know any better. Okay, that's a lie. I knew better, but like, I didn't know what else to do. I wanted to make myself feel better, and the attention made me feel better. But then on the double side of it, like, because I always feel split. Like, I always feel very torn. I like getting attention, but then I feel disgusting for getting that attention. Because that's my brain, like, that's my conscience. That's my conscience saying, like, you know you shouldn't be doing it this way, right? And so I feel bad. Because that's, if someone loves me, they love me for me. I know that now. Not for what I look like, not for, you know, what's in between my legs. You know, they love me for me. So when I got out of that halfway house, I relapsed. It took a little bit, just a little bit. Not long, though. It took me not being able to set a boundary with my family and say, I'm not ready to come home yet. And I did go home, and I shouldn't have. I just shouldn't have. I wasn't ready. I had no foundation. And I came back, and I was like, drugs it is. It took me so long to get honest. I was actually just talking about this this morning or last night with my boyfriend. When I finally got honest about my like relapsing, I went to this morning meeting and I shared and I said, like, it, you know, how fucked up is it that it took me 2 weeks to get my white key tag, and a gentleman who shall remain anonymous. Was like, oh, you just had to add in there that it took you 2 weeks to get honest, so that we all knew that you at least had 2 weeks. And a woman who at one point sponsored me, she was like, at least you got fucking honest. That meant the world to me that day. Because if she hadn't have said that, I can guarantee that I probably would have gone out and used. And I just realized that. I just realized that she probably saved my life that day by just sticking up for me that little bit. To a douchebag.
As courteous.
As rich. But anyway, I started working this program. I went to a meeting that week. I walked in, I saw my sponsor, started bawling hysterically, and I was like, the pain is great enough. I worked my first step with her. started to work my second, and then I got the phone call that she had relapsed. I'll never forget that day either. It made it all the more real to me that, like, clean time means shit. Your program is what I care about. Because, like, when I saw her, I saw me. When I had a Me Too moment with her, that's why I chose her. So, like, if she relapsed because she wasn't doing what she needed to do, me too. If I don't do what I need to do. And it was scary. Drove me to work this program harder. I think I got a sponsor that weekend. Because I was like, I need a sponsor. I'm going to die. I went through my second and third step with her. She was great. She gave me my wonderful personal mantra. And that is, I am good enough. I add value. And God loves me no matter what. I use that today. Sometimes every hour on the hour to this day. And then I switched sponsors. I blew that shit up in my head real bad, too. I was like, she's going to hate me. She was freaking fine with it. She was fine with it. I'm just a jago. She just blew shit up in her head. Worked my fourth step. For me, it was hard. It was hard because I had never taken a look at what I had ever done in my life, let alone take it the look that I played in that. But it was worth it because when I did my fifth step, and I told my sponsor, and she said, me too, or she says, you want to know what I did? And I was like, my girl. That meant the world to me. The absolute world to me. And when I could look in the mirror and say it to myself, all the things that had happened, and be able to look at myself in the mirror and say it. Looking in the mirror was the hardest thing in the world for me. Now I catch myself in, like, in the car looking at myself. That is not something I had ever would have done in the past. I did my six. I'm working on my seven, so I'm really not going to speak about those, but character defects are a bitch. Awareness is a bitch. It was nice when I wasn't aware, because ignorance is truly bliss. Didn't fully understand that saying until this. Awareness is beautiful. This program saved my life. I can talk about the monetary things that I've gotten, which would be like, I have a nice house, you know, we're able to redo rooms and shit like that, which is super fun. Just kidding. What is this color? No, it's too green. I have a car, and then I hit a deer. Still have the car, though. I'm able to buy myself bras. That's pretty cool. I pay my bills. Really cool. But the better thing is that fact that I can look myself in the mirror. And then this strange thing happened. So I've been with this dude. It was not healthy when we first started out. Not even in the slightest bit. That shit was unhealthy as hell. Oh. But I would look at him and I would say, if you let me surprise you, I will. And so far, that's what I've done. A big thing for me is, like, remember how I said, like, my mom needed me. That guy needed me. By no means do I want him to need me today. Fuck that. I don't want you to need me. My pride is a bitch, I will say. Because sometimes, you know, I should be able to ask for help from your significant other. And that's actually one of the hardest things for me to do, is to ask him for help. Because I'm like, no, I'll ask anybody but you. But you. Because I want to do it on my own. I don't want to have to need him. That's a hurt piece that I talk about with my sponsor, though. Anyway. But something really cool happened. He got his daughter. Talk about, like, I don't know where he is, but he says he's the one I heard it from the most, with spiritual choreography. That little girl was growing up very similar to how I was. I sat there and it was almost like looking at myself as a child. The only difference being is she was actually removed from that situation. I was not. I stayed with it until my mother passed. And I realized she was in just as much pain. And I had this huge resentment against my family because they never got me away from my mom and they knew how bad she was. And she knows how bad her mom is. I must have known her for like a month, and we were sitting at church, and she goes, "My mom is never getting better." And I couldn't help but cry. For a little, at that time she was seven-year-old girl, to know that, to say to me, a woman she barely knows, "My mom is never going to get better." Take my heart and just smash it on the floor. And all I can do is love her. That this program has given me the ability to love her. To look at her and be like, "You never have to be alone. I know what you're feeling." That when her mom fucks up again and again, we'll pray for your mommy. Your mommy does love you. I promise you that, kid. That's the greatest thing in the world. I remember telling telling my boyfriend, I was like, "I think I love her more than you." That's 100% true. I love her. I'll fight for her. I'll go to bat for her. And I will never leave her. As long as I keep doing the next right thing. And like, out of all the rewards, like, that's one of the biggest to me. It is. And doing like H&I, I'm greatly involved in H&I. I love that. And when a woman comes up to me and says, "Me too," all of it was worth it. All of it. I'm just gonna like ramble if I continue. So I'm Sierra and I'm an addict. That's all I got.